Missouri. The forecast for East Central Illinois this afternoon, mostly sunny with a high of 53 and a wind from the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy and cooler with a low of 28 and a northwest wind at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high of 45. The wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain after midnight, the low 35. The wind from the east at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain and a high in the low 50s. Sunday night through Monday, mostly cloudy and colder with a chance of rain. Look for a low Sunday night in the upper 30s and a high Monday in the low 40s. And the outlook for Monday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of snow and a low in the low 20s. At noon Central Time across Illinois and Indiana, temperatures ranged from the upper 40s to the low 60s, most locations reporting sunshine. At Chicago's O'Hare Airport, 45 degrees in Bloomington, Normal 49, 52 at Springfield, 53 at Mattoon, 61 in Carbondale. South Bend reported 47 degrees at the top of the hour. It was 50 at Lafayette, 53 at Indianapolis and Terre Haute, 62 in Evansville. Willard Airport reported 49 degrees at the top of the hour, mostly sunny skies. The dew point, 33. The relative humidity, 54%. The wind out of the northwest at 17. The barometric pressure, 30.21 and rising. And at 12:39, 52 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Foreclosures in America matched their highest level on record at the end of 2010. That's the latest word from the mortgage industry, and it's frustrating to one of the nation's top financial watchdogs, Neil Barofsky. He's the Special Inspector General for TARP, the massive bank bailout program. He's stepping down in March, and he says the administration's program to prevent foreclosures is broken. NPR's Chris Arnold spoke with Barofsky about his time in Washington and about the program.
When Neil Barofsky took on the job of a watchdog keeping tabs on the Treasury Department, he was shown to his new office at the Treasury Building. Or actually, it was under the Treasury Building. They gave him a mildewy office in the basement.
Over the course of a couple of months, there's this terrible smell that sort of permeated the office. I wasn't sure if it was, well, the Treasury's an old building. But I started actually beginning to feel a little bit ill. So I finally did a complaint, and it turned out there was an open sewage drain right under that office. And we were literally breathing in raw sewage. It was quite a welcome to Washington.
It's not exactly rolling out the red carpet, I guess, huh? But Barofsky was used to working in inhospitable places. As a U.S. attorney, he investigated drug cartels in Colombia. In Washington, in a new office, he's now built up a team of more than 100 auditors and white-collar criminal investigators. He's thwarted attempts to steal taxpayer money. But Barofsky says one part of TARP in particular has been a failure, and that's the Obama administration's foreclosure prevention plan.
I just fear it is the one aspect of TARP that had the opportunity to have a really, really meaningful impact on millions of families, and it's something that's an opportunity that's lost.
The Home Affordable Modification Program, as it's called, was supposed to help between 3 to 4 million Americans stay in their homes. These are not supposed to be people who acted recklessly or were flipping condos. But for people who do qualify, the program can lower their mortgage payments, and that can help both the homeowners and the investors who own the loans. But
we're not going to come anywhere close to that number.
Over the past 2 years, the program has only reached 500,000 people. Now, the Treasury Department says basically, hey, that's pretty good. 500,000 people get to stay in their homes. But Barofsky says many times that many people are getting rejected from the program for the wrong reasons and are getting foreclosed on when they shouldn't be.
There are so many people who are suffering. It is absolutely heartbreaking, the number of families that are not being reached by this program.
I worry about my mom. Where would my mom go? She's 80 years old. Where would I go?
Deborah Dahlmer in Gloucester, Massachusetts, is one of many homeowners that NPR has spoken with in recent stories. After her husband died, Dahlmer couldn't afford the payments on their modest house, but she seems to be a perfect candidate for the Making Home Affordable program. She's legally blind and has disability income. For more than a year, though, she says Bank of America has been losing documents that she faxes in, and she still doesn't know if she's going to lose her house.
I'm told by my doctor to calm down because my blood pressure is skyrocketing from this. How can you help it?
Borofsky says one of the program's big weaknesses is that it's a government program, but the banks decide who qualifies. And he says they improperly reject qualified people all the time, often after stringing them along for a year or longer.
You have people who come out of this with tons of late fees that they otherwise may not have been looking at. Their credit ratings have been destroyed. Their savings depleted. They're in a far worse place than they would have been had this program not existed.
But actually, in the end, Borofsky doesn't blame the banks. He says the government didn't put the right incentives in place to really bring the banks on board.
This is a product of poor program design, of poor oversight by the Treasury Department, of poor execution of compliance. Treasury designed this program, and its failings are its failings.
For its part, the Treasury Department says it doesn't have the authority to force more compliance from the banks. But Borofsky says it should be asking Congress for more authority if that's the case. Meanwhile, Borofsky says not much is changing, and more people are missing out on the chance to stay in their homes. Chris Arnold, NPR News.
As many as 9% of American homeowners stopped paying their mortgages last year. But in Europe, even in hard-hit countries like Ireland and Spain, most homeowners continue to find a way to make payments. That's because they have no choice. Here's Chana Jaffe-Walt of NPR's Planet Money team.
It turns out Europeans, and most of the developed world for that matter, are still paying their mortgages, even when their homes are worth less than what they owe, even when they lose their jobs, because Europeans are afraid of their banks. Consider what happened to Frédéric Letien when the Spanish economy started to stall.
At the beginning, I couldn't believe it. They were speaking about the crisis on the TV, but things were okay.
Things were okay for her. Frédéric translates technical documents from Spanish to French. She's French, lives in Madrid. And it took a good 2 years of economic crisis before her work dried up. And when it did, it happened suddenly. And then, just as suddenly, she could no longer make mortgage payments to the bank.
They called me every day telling me you have to put money in. If I had 100 euros, I used to put it in the mortgage, but it was never enough.
Frédéric panicked. She took jobs and did things she never would have considered before. Filled in for secretaries on maternity leave, temped at a restaurant, asked her ex-husband for money.
I had to sell my grandma's jewelry. You know, I had to go and sell it just to pay. I had enough to pay 2 months.
Had Frédéric lived in the U.S., it is quite possible she never would have sold her family heirlooms, she never would have called her ex, because she would have had another option, to give up. If Frédéric walked away from her mortgage in the U.S., her credit score would be ruined, she'd lose her house, and then, most likely, it'd be over. In Spain, if Frédéric walked away from her mortgage, her credit score would be ruined, she'd lose her house, and then the bank could pursue her for everything else that is hers. Her car, her investments, in a few years, if and when she does get a job, her wages. Most Spanish banks issue what are called recourse loans, meaning the bank can pursue and pursue beyond the house until it gets its money back in full.
That's it. I mean, for the rest of my life, I know it, but I can't do anything about it.
So, one reason why around 9% of Americans with mortgages stopped making payments last year, and only 3% of Spaniards did, Spaniards are afraid of their banks.
Well, perhaps it's not very popular to say this, but I don't think it's a bad thing.
This is Javier Andrés, an economist at the University of Valencia. He says Spanish banks are suffering terribly from mortgage losses already. If people were not afraid of the banks when asking to borrow money, things would have gotten even worse.
I mean, if you have this kind of regulation, then people would think twice before asking for a very high mortgage.
In America, of course, the attitude is different, including among many economists. Atif Mia at the University of California at Berkeley says the problem is if someone is afraid of the banks going after them, that person is less likely to buy a new refrigerator, to open a new business. And in a recession, That's a bad thing.
If you force that person to sell their other assets as well, then that individual may not have enough money to, for example, pay for their children's education or their health and so on. And so you need to be lenient towards such individuals.
No one has been lenient to Frédérique Laetienne, at least not yet. She is fearful, but I should say she's not actually angry that things work this way.
I knew that if you take a loan and you don't pay it, the bank will go after you. It's normal, of course.
Hannah Jaffe-Walt, NPR News.
Support for Planet Money comes from Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD, as well as an online savings account and a money market account. Learn more at allybank.com.
When Congress passed its financial overhaul last year, an amendment was added. It put limits on what banks can charge merchants each time a customer swipes a debit card. Now some members of Congress are being urged to reconsider. NPR's Tamara Keith reports.
When the amendment was approved, it was billed as a win for consumers and a win for retailers. Big banks said they'd lose billions, but smaller community banks and credit unions were supposed to be protected by an exemption. Then the Federal Reserve came out with its proposed rule in December, and a major uproar ensued. It would dramatically cut the fees banks can charge merchants for each transaction. House and Senate committees both held hearings on the issue yesterday. In the Senate Banking Committee, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke expressed reservations.
We are not certain how effective that exemption will be. It is possible that that exemption will not be effective in the marketplace.
Or as Frank Michael, the CEO of a small credit union in Stockton, California, put it to members of the House Financial Services Committee.
Under the current proposal, we are going to lose money on every transaction. The only real question is how much.
Even members of the committee who had originally supported the amendment openly questioned whether there was now a risk of unintended consequences. Democratic Congressman David Scott was among many who called on the Federal Reserve to delay implementing the rule.
The banks are not going to pay for this. The merchants are not going to pay for this. You know who's going to pay for this? It's going to be the American consumers at the end of the line.
But retailers who have been pushing for this for years made it clear they're not interested in a delay. The Federal Reserve can't actually change the timetable. It was created by Congress and can only be changed by Congress. The new rule is set to be finalized April 21st. Tamara Keith, NPR News, Washington.
WILL programs are made possible by the Center for Advanced Study, whose Knowing Animals initiative presents Remarkable Creatures, Epic Adventures in the Search for Origins of the Species, by Sean B. Carroll on Tuesday, February 22nd at 4 p.m. at Knight Auditorium